You have a Bible tonight, you'll find our text again in the book of Matthew, Matthew's Gospel. It's a joy to be back in his house again tonight. We appreciate Brother Billy allowing us to be in these services again this year. We want to continue our train of thought again tonight in a little phrase that our Lord made on five different occasions. Of course, if our Lord says something once, it's awful important. Twice, wow, gracious, it's paramount importance. Five times, you can only sense and feel there's some hard-headed Baptists ain't listening. And after a while, somebody will say, hey, 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 I got it, finally, I got it. The little phrase I speak of is, be of good cheer. He says it on five different occasions. Four of those times it is translated in our English Bible, be of good cheer. One time, the time we'll look at tonight, it is translated, be of good comfort. If you'll check your Greek concordance, you'll find that it is the same Greek word, just one Greek word. But it's always said to a situation where someone is in the dark hour of the soul, situation where they have lost confidence in God, lost hope that this thing can be worked out. So we're preaching in these days on the cure for the dark hour of the soul. This morning we looked in Matthew's gospel at the man with the palsy, such an awesome picture of our iniquity, our curse under sin. And we found there our Lord came to him and told him, cheer up, lift up your chin. I've got it worked out. I'm glad of that tonight, aren't you? Dark hour and the cure for the dark hour of iniquity. Tonight, I want us to go again to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 9. Jesus makes this statement again. He makes it to a lady who had a blood problem for 12 years. Bible says that she has spent all that she has at the doctor's and she's none the better. I bet you some of you could identify with that tonight. You've spent a bunch of money at the doctor and you're none the better. He told her, cheer up. Be of good comfort. In this same setting, he says it in the midst of not only her, but he says it in the midst of a man by the name of Jairus. He has a little problem. His daughter is dead. And our Lord has the audacity to tell him, cheer up, I've got it. I'd like to look at this occasion tonight in Matthew chapter number 9 and look at the cure for the dark hour of infirmities. If you stay around this world long enough, sickness is coming your way. Either you or someone you love dearly. If you stay around here long enough, you're going to witness a doctor come in and do this. We've done all we can do. There's nothing else to do. And I tell you, you will be a prime candidate at that point for the dark hour of the soul. You'll say, where in the world is God? I've served him all my life. I've given my 10%. I've even given offerings to the camp meet. How dare him treat me like this? Lose confidence, lose hope. You say, that'll never happen to me. You're way down the road to it happening if you don't think it'll happen. Are you listening to me tonight? Cure for the dark hour of infirmity. Beginning to read our text in Matthew 9, verse 18, while he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler, worshipped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I but touch his garment, I'll feel better. He doesn't even say that in the Living Bible. She said, if I could but touch him, I will be made whole. I will be completely well. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, daughter, you remember now, he's got a man over here. His daughter is dead. He's got a woman over here that has had a blood disease for 12 years. And he tells them, cheer up. Be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. The woman was made whole from that hour. When Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrels and the people making a noise, he said unto them, give place. The maid is not dead, but sleepeth. They laughed him to scorn. And when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. Cure for the dark hour of infirmities. I'd like to take this text tonight. I know most of you don't take notes. You've got a photographic memory. You remember everything you hear from a pulpit. I assure you tonight, anything that is said back here, you will probably have a test over it sooner or later. And of course, I told you this morning, I was in 10th grade 3 times, and a third time, I finally realized it's not good to take tests without any notes. It just never does work out real good. And many of you will take a test over this material, and you never took the opportunity to maybe jot a thought or two down. I want to share with you from this text 4 things that you ought to seek to do when the dark hour of infirmities set in your soul. I see it from this text, and I'm finding more and more in my own life, I'm finding it would be good to step out and start doing these 4 things while everything's going well. Because I did not know if you noted or not, I hate to be the first one to tell you, the only thing you'll take into the dark is what you've learned in the light. That's all you'll take into the dark. If the dark hour of the soul sets in on you tonight, the only thing you've got is what you've got. You're not going to be up there in Raleigh at the big hospital over there, and they got the beep beeps going off on you. They got that tube down your throat. You're not going to, at the corner of your mouth, say, hey, honey, bring me my Bible. I think I'm going to start reading it. It's not going to happen. The only thing you're going to have when you go in there is what you've gotten in the light. Are you listening to me? 4 things in this text that would help you with the dark hour of the soul. Number one, these 4 things are so simple that I'm afraid you'll look at them tonight and say, oh, Christ, that'll help me in the dark hour of the soul. I guarantee you, you'll be walking on water before it's over with if you'll practice these 4 things. Number one, seek to touch him. Seek to touch him. Seek to touch him. I was thinking in our text in verse 21, the purpose of this touch. The Bible said, for she said within herself. This old gal is talking to herself. She's talking inside. One of the best places to get closer to God is to talk to Him inside yourself. I'm not talking about hitting your knees. Great Father that sitteth upon the realms of the universe. No! Just commune with Him with your soul. Oh, it is there that faith is conceived. It is there that faith is enlarged. It is there that the mind is grown towards Him, and not towards your problems, not towards your sickness, not towards what's hurting you, but towards Him. She said within herself, purpose of the touch. I don't know, do you remember reading this in the Bible? That He is touched with the feelings of what? Our infirmities. Oh, as we commune with Him, as we turn our heart towards Him, He says He is touched. The purpose of the touch. I'm telling you, long before that dark hour sits in on you, daily, hourly, momently, seek to touch Him. Practice it. Because it'll be extremely hard for you to practice it when the lights go out. Seek to touch Him, the purpose of it. But I see not only the purpose, I see the place. Where in the world did she touch Him? The Bible says in verse 20 that she touched the hem of His garment. This is going to put a number of you out. You're not going to be able to do this. How come? Because it is the bottom of His garment. And in order to touch that, you're going to have to get down low. And you're not going to do. I could ask this preacher tonight if he would name the ones here that he's never seen you at an altar. I guarantee he could tell me. You're not in the low business. And I'm going to tell you something. It will show when the dark hour of infirmities come. She has gotten down low and she wants to touch His hem. You say, what in the world is the big deal about touching that? The hem is the last thing that is done on a garment. Once the hem is done, the garment is finished. She's seeking to touch the finished work. Oh, I tell you, long before the dark hour infirmities come, seek to touch that cross. Seek to get a hold of that cross. Nothing in my hands I bring, simply to that cross I cling. She's wanting to touch that finished work. I understand that a hem, in order to have one, the garment must be lifted up. Lifted up. I think I read somewhere where he said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw men unto myself. Of course, once the garment is lifted up, the garment then must be pierced through. Oh, did he not say that one day they'll look upon me whom they pierced. He was pierced for me. Some of you smart ladies that sew a little bit, once the garment has been pierced, it must be threaded. Tell me, help me. If I have my garment here tonight and I've got my thread and I stick it in my garment and I pull it like this all the way through, and then all of a sudden, my needle is hanging here with the thread. Can you tell me what I forgot to do? I forgot to knot it. Wow. She's reaching to touch that finished work of Christ. He says in the Old Testament that there is a bloodline, an eternal bloodline that runs from Christ. He said He tied one end of it around Himself as sitting in eternity past. He said He come down through time and He threaded it through various and sundry individuals. He came through Chesapeake, Virginia and threaded it through me and in 1968, he took the other end into the eternal future and tied the other end around him. He said you couldn't go to hell if you wanted to. Wow. She's seeking to touch the threaded purposes of God. You remember that old song Fanny Crosby wrote, Near the Cross? This is yes, this is no, this is I don't know. This would be a good answer. In all three verses, Fanny talked about getting near the cross. She kept saying, I want to get near the cross. I want to get closer to the cross. I want to get closer to the cross. But when she gets to the chorus, she changes her whole tune. Whole song changes its whole variety. She no longer says, I want to get near the cross. In the chorus, she starts saying, in the cross, in the cross. That blind girl got so close to the cross, the thing swallowed her up. And she is now engulfed in the cross. What is that going to help me in the dark hour of the soul? If you can simply but touch the finished work of Christ, he will engulf you in the cross and you won't even know you're having troubles. Seek to touch him during that and before that dark hour infirmities. Could I mention this? Second thing you ought to try to do. Not only seek to touch him. Verse 22 of our text. Seek to trust him. Seek to trust him. I was thinking here, he makes this statement to Jairus, his daughter's dead. This lady has a blood disease. Be of good comfort. I was interested, if you, just for a second, the rendition of this text in Mark's gospel, chapter number 5. Mark looks at it from just a different angle. Hold your finger right there in Matthew. We're coming right back. I just want you to see this. I'm talking about seek to trust him. One of the hardest things to do is trust God when everything is screaming, don't do it. When all around your soul's giving way. When you're out the graveyard and you're looking down at the hole where they're going to put the closest thing you've ever had in all your life in that hole, and God's whispering you, trust me, I got this. I'm going to tell you, it's going to be extremely difficult for you to do that unless you've been practicing that in the light. Are you listening to me? I'm talking about trust him. Watch the text now. Don't take my word for it. Mark chapter number 5 and verse number 35. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? As soon as Jesus heard the words that he spoke unto the ruler of the synagogue, he said, be not afraid. Can you imagine you have the audacity to tell him this? Only believe. Just trust me. I tell you, if you hadn't been trusting him all along, if you had one of those Johnny-come-lately trust, you know, you just trust him when things are going well, it's going to be extremely hard for you to trust him when the lights go out. You listen to me. I see from this text that we ought to seek to trust him in the face of the unimaginable. This man has found out that his daughter is dead, and our Lord turns to him and says, only believe. Cast yourself helplessly upon me. You know, I'm afraid most of us Baptists, we're like the old boy that was afraid to fly in a plane. Some of you are afraid to fly. I tell you, I just don't get in airplanes. I'm just afraid. I just don't like to get in airplanes. I've got bad news for you. We are flying right now at 2,700 miles an hour, and we're circling the earth at 2,700 miles an hour, and I notice a lot of you don't even have your seatbelts on. Wow, you're living on the edge. Wow, are you listening to me tonight? It reminds me of the old boy, he's scared to fly. Oh, he just would not get on no plane. Had a disaster in his family, and the only way he could get to the funeral was to fly. And so he did. When he got back, none of his close friends asked him, said, Well, was you afraid?
He says, oh, yes, I was terribly afraid. They said, well, how did you make it? He said, I never did rest all my weight on that seat. That's the way some of you are tonight. You ain't going to rest all your weight on that seat. I got good news for you. He's carrying you too. Amen. Trust him. As the songwriter says, only trust him. Only trust him. Only trust him tomorrow.
No, the songwriter says, only trust him now.
Only trust him now. Seek to trust him. Face of the unimaginable. I met a dear gentleman the other night up in Michigan, older gentleman. He told me, he says, I have buried 3 children. He says, I buried them almost close together in rapid succession, 2 in car wrecks and 1 with cancer. I said, how in this world did you do that? I thought it was interesting, the deep theological answer that he gave me. He said, preacher, I just had to trust him. Oh, I'm telling you, you better trust him while the lights are on. You'll never do it in the dark. Trusting him. Seek to trust him in the face of the unimaginable. But I see in our text, he turns to him, he says, be not afraid. Be not what? My daughter's dead. Seek to trust him in fear of the unbelievable. I was thinking about this thing of unbelievable things happening to us. I'm reminded of what I tell my grandchildren quite often when they're scared. What time I am afraid, I will what? Trust in thee. I was interested in this little verse. I just read it real quick. Go over there and read it with me. It won't hurt you. Isaiah chapter number 50. Isaiah chapter number 50. Talking about trusting him. Seek to trust him and fear the unbelievable. He says in verse number 10, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant? Is a person, he's obeying the Lord, he's walking with the Lord, he's a 3-time-a-week type guy, he's tither, he's an offering man, he's working around the church. And he says in verse number 10, that walketh in darkness and hath no light. He's been serving the Lord. He's been giving God his whole life. And all of a sudden, God cuts the lights out on him. What are you going to do? If you're out here on Interstate 40, the lights go out on you. There's some things that you ought not do. One of them, it's awful deep. I don't know if you can get this or not. Stop. That would be a good advice spiritually. Don't stop. Another thing that you ought not to do is pull off the side of the road, especially if you don't know what's over there. That is good advice physically and spiritually. God forbid that you do this. Don't turn around and go back. What should I do? Deep truth in verse number 10. He said, let him trust in the name of the Lord. The little word trust there, cast all your being upon him, all your thoughts, all your doings, all your feelings, and let him stay, lean all of his weight upon his God. Most of the time when the lights go out, we do everything but that. Seek to trust him during that dark hour of infirmities. We're back in our text, Matthew chapter number 9. Third thing, I notice some of you are writing this down. That thrills me. I tell you, put yourself a little note on the side of your paper and put this somewhere where you can look. I'm going to need this soon. Huh? You may get the call on your cell phone on the way home, and you may sass your wife and say, honey, review those four things with me. We're going to need it after the call I just got. Seek to think upon him. See, when the dark hour of the soul comes, we want to think of everything but him. Satan wants to take your mind off of everything else but him. It is natural to think about where you're hurting at, what am I going to do, how am I going to get a plan to get me out of this. No, stop it. Seek to think upon him. Notice the text, if you've got it there. Matthew chapter number 9, verse 22. Seek to think upon your position in him. Did you notice what he said to the old gal with the blood disease before he said, be of good comfort? He called that gal daughter. Wow. Ruh-roh. Business has just picked up. That is the same little phrase that he used with the palsy guy this morning. That little word, son, they are similar words. They are terms of intimacy. They're terms that a father uses with a child, and for the most part, they are used in an adoption situation. He's done adopted this gal. Wow. You say, what's the big deal about being adopted? If you're here tonight and you have been adopted, your mom and daddy picked you. You that are here tonight and you're from natural born parents, they had to take what they got. That's real simple, ain't it? You're looking at an old boy that has been adopted. What he said. He said, I know. The only time I ever got picked, well, you know, I was a fat boy all my life. I've always been on a diet, thinking about going on a diet or getting off a diet and getting on one. The only time I ever got picked, they said, we'll take Gillum if you give us first bat. It's the only time I ever got picked. And he picked me and knowed I couldn't bat. He said, I want you. Son, daughter, think upon those things. You say, what is the big deal about thinking upon those things? If you've been adopted, he says, I have not given you a spirit of fear, but he says, I've given you a spirit of adoption. He says, matter of fact, I've made you a joint heir with me. I'm thinking, I'm in the dark hour of infirmity. My body's falling apart. I refuse to think upon that. I'm going to think upon my position in him. I'm going to think about my adoption, that I'm a joint heir with him. You say, what's the big deal about a joint heir? Oh, it's a big deal. Oh, yeah. Some of you here are proud tonight that you're from a big family. Bless God, we had 10 kids in our family. It sounds good till mom and daddy die and y'all cut that pie. You ain't getting much. I'm here to tell you tonight, I am not sharing the spiritual pie with a one of you. You ain't getting none of my pie. How come? I am a joint heir. What is a joint heir? I get exactly what the heir get. What is he getting? He said, I'm getting everything. Well, what am I getting? I'm getting it all too. Are you listening to me tonight? I think upon my position in him. Matter of fact, he says, because I am a joint heir, I can now call him Abba Father. Wow, Abba Father. I've had you to say that little word. Say it sometimes. Abba. Say it with me. Abba. Well, some of you come in there pretty good. Let's try it again. One, two, three. Abba. Do it one more time. Watch your tongue. One, two, three. Abba. You notice what your tongue did? Nothing. Baby talk. Papa. Dada. You're laying on that bed, your body's falling apart. Instead of focusing in on that, call Papa, call Dada. Oh, my business will pick up. I am adopted in the family of God. I was thinking about being a part of the family of God. Do you know in the Old Testament, God mentioned the word family 123 times? Over and over again, he had a problem with families. Of course, when you have problems, ain't it usually with some family member always having a problem with family? But you get in the New Testament, he only ever used the word one time. Wow. Not 120. Oh, no, no, no. Just one time. Paul said that he's got a family both in heaven and in earth. He said, I've quit dealing with families. He said, I'm only dealing with one family. He said, my family. I like that, don't you? I found there's three ways you can get in a family. You get born in a family. You get adopted into a family. Or you get married into a family. Spiritually tonight, I get in all three ways. Wow. I got born again in 1968. He told me he adopted me before the foundation of the world. And I'm going to be married into the family. I am the craziest spiritual uncle that you ain't ever getting rid of, because I am a threefold part of the family of God. When you begin to focus in on that, seek to think upon him. Not only about our position, think upon our perception here in our text. He tells her daughter, be of good comfort. I was studying that word again this week. Word literally means cheer up. It's cheering up. Hey, if you're having trouble, don't tell anybody about it. They already know. They saw you when you come in the building tonight. You look like you got a big old sign on, I got troubles. Huh? Get your chin up. The little word has the idea of changing your focus. Instead of looking at yourself, get your eyes on him. The songwriter said it well when he said this. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. Why in the world I want to do that for? The things of this earth will grow strangely dim. The light of his glory and grace. Did any of you ever have any grandchildren play baseball? This is yes. This is no. I don't know. Yes. Do you remember the coach standing on third base when they were batting and they would swing at the ball and miss it by a country mile? Do you ever remember the coach doing this? That's that word right there. His daughter's dead and she's been bleeding for 12 years and he tells both of them, keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes on me. I'm talking about seek to think upon him. Can I close with this thought? Not only do we need, you better start trying to do this while the light's strong. Seek to touch him, trust him, think upon him. Last of all, seek to throne him. I notice in our text that we need to seek to throne him in our hearts. I was interested in what this Gentile centurion servant by the name of Jairus did when he first come to Jesus. Look at it. Verse 18. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and, wow, I bet you that's something some of you've never done. Worshipped him. I was studying this little word worship. Two pictures. The original Greek. One, smother both of the hands of another with kisses. Wow. Gracious. He is slobbering all over Jesus. He's kissing all over his hands. What's a big deal about that? Your daughter's dead and you'd like for one of them hands to touch her. You get down to business. You might lose your identity.
The other word for this word worship is to put the face in the dirt. Put the face in the dirt. I'm telling you, this old boy has gotten as low as he can. He has kissed him all over the hands, and now face in the dirt. What is he doing? He is throning him in his heart. I'm telling you, this thing's bigger than praying some little old prayer and thinking everything's all right with me and Jesus. Telling you, the dark hour of the soul of infirmity will show you it ain't. Listen, there's been times between you and him where you've loved on him and he's loved on you, and you've gotten as low as you possibly can before him. Seek to throne him in your heart. But look at verse 24. Seek not only to throne him in your heart, but seek to throne him in your house. What? In your house. The Bible says in verse 23, when Jesus got there, all of the professional mourners were out there, and they were doing their thing. Oh, daughter! Oh, your daughter's dead. Oh, what are we gonna do? The Bible says that he steps up on the threshold of the door and says two words, give place. What's the big deal about that? They are words that would be said of a Middle Eastern man who now has the rights and authority over everything in that house. He is making the statement, I own everything in this house. I can do with anything in this house whatever I want to do with it. I don't know when this happened, but somewhere between the point, Jairus, your daughter's dead, and he says, only believe, between there and the house, Jairus gave him the whole cotton picking thing. He let him have the house. He said, Lord, he said, you can have the house. You can have all my possessions. You can have my daughter. If you want to come in the middle of the night and get one of my kids, they belong to you. I'm letting you have them all. He steps in and says, I am now the authority over this house. I'm telling you, while the lights are still on, before the darkness sets in, seek to throne him in your heart and in your house. Long before the dark hour of infirmities come, it must be more than a song. The old songwriter said, have thine own way. Have thine own way. Hold over my being absolute sway. Till all upon the altar of sacrifice is laid. I tell you, it'll take a lot more than just the words of this song to live this. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. In the 44 years plus that I've been preaching, I have found the strongest of Christians, no matter how strong they are, how tough they are, one of these four things is a weak area in your life. Seeking to touch him. It may be a weakness in your life. Your prayer life is as kneel as it possibly can. You do not constantly seek to wrap yourself in that cross. Maybe a weakness. Seek to trust him. Even in the smallest, while some of you are whining about sinus headaches, what are you going to do when you get brain cancer? You can't even stand sinus headaches. Seek to trust him. It may be a weak link. Seek to think upon him. Practice when things are going well. All of those thoughts bombarding, seek to push them out. Think upon him. It may be a weak link in your life. Seek to throne him, your heart, in your house. One of those four, maybe more than one, usually is a weak link in your life. Seek to shore it up. Would you stand with us tonight? Father, I thank you for the kind attention of your people. Lord, I believe with all of my heart we'll reach back someday, sometime or another. We'll seek to touch you. We'll seek to trust you. Seek to think upon you. Seek to throne you. Lord, I know of these areas that is a weakness in my own life. I want to shore those up, Lord. Right now while I'm walking in the light, long before the dark hour of infirmities come, I want to seek to touch you, trust you, think upon you, throne you. I want all four of them to be strong in my life, Lord. Grant it, oh Lord, we pray.